Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Study in the Word. We're at Harvest Worship Center in Rolla, Missouri, and we're in the process of doing a study, a series entitled An In-Depth Study on Love. Today's message is number 7 in the series, and the title of today's message is Guard Your Heart Above All That You Guard. So let's pray and get right into the Word. Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor that we have today of joining our hearts together as we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor that we have of hearing the voice of your Word today as you teach us. Father, we ask that you bring forth revelation knowledge of this Word that we're about to receive, that it be planted in the soil of our heart, and that it bring forth much harvest. Father, we choose to set our love upon you today. We choose to hear the voice of your Word. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing the depths and the truth of God's Word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of today's message, like I mentioned, is Guard Your Heart Above All That You Guard. Everything, no matter what it is an issue of the heart. Now, we may not think so. We may think, well, it's my mind. Well, your mind functions based on what's in your heart. Jesus put it this way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we need to guard our heart above all that we guard. The first message in this series was entitled, God is Love. The second message is Love, the Point of Origin. The third message was All Because of Love. Those titles alone tell us something about God and about love. The fourth message was all of God's ways are love. No matter what his ways are love. Our ways are supposed to be love because as he is, so are we in this world. Message number 5 was entitled Rooted Deep in Love. And the sixth message was love, the top priority in life. There is nothing more important in our life than being deeply rooted in God, deeply rooted in love, deeply rooted in faith, deeply rooted in the Father's heart. We need to work on this. It's something that we have to do. God has opened the doors of his heart. He's made a way. He's given us his word. He sent his son to the cross, and he rose from the dead for us. He did everything he could possibly do to make a way for man back to that one communion relationship with God that he wants so much. Amen. That we lost at the fall of Adam. Everything that God has done, is doing, or ever will do is love, because God is love, and it's supposed to be everything that we do. And in order for us to walk the walk that we're called to walk in God, for our hearts to be in tune with him and to be who we really are as a species called man, in order for us to accomplish why we're really here and why we were created, we have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our hearts above all that we guard. Everything, no matter what it is an issue of the heart. It is a love issue. Everything flows from the heart. That is why love is the number one priority. Nothing is more important. Nothing. And I emphasize that again, nothing is more important than your love walk with God. Nothing. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, the Amplified Bible, classic version. My son, now this is God the Father through Solomon talking to his people. So this is from the Father's heart to us. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life.
Amen.
All of our life flows from the heart. That's why everything is a heart issue. Notice in the first part of that, he said, my son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. This is so vital that there's a commandment going out to pay attention to those words, to attend to them. In other words, you're digging around in them, you're meditating on them, you're thinking on them, you're applying them to every area of your life. You're filtering everything in your life through God's word. Attend to my words. Then he says, consent and submit. Well, some translations just say submit. You know, I can consent to something because I'm being forced to do that. I'm being forced into a position of submission here. I'm having to submit to something because I'm pressured into it. Mm-hmm. But if I'm consenting and submitting, I'm doing it on purpose. I desire to do this. I'm not a slave being beaten and being forced into submitting, but I'm consenting to this word. I am allowing it to take root in my life. See, love will not force you to do anything. God has prepared the table and laid it out. He's given us his word, which is life itself.
Hallelujah.
He's given us that. He's made a provision for us in every way, but he will not make us receive and walk in that. But if I consent to it, I'm doing it of my free will. And there's a big difference in the two. Let them not depart from your sight. So I am the one that lets. As you know, let is a commandment. Let is also a choice. So let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. So it's telling us to make God's word part of our spirit man, to feed it into our heart and life, and to make it part of who we are. For they are life to those who find them. Notice you're finding them. How do you find something? You look for it. You dig around for it. Where is this word found? It's found in this wonderful book called the Bible.
Amen.
We need to dig into it, to think about it, to study it, to meditate on it. What did he tell Joshua? To meditate on my word day and night. Didn't he? It shall go well with you all the days of your life, and that no man will be able to stand against you. But Joshua had to do that. He had to make a choice to meditate and to submit to that word. Otherwise, he couldn't have done what he was called to do. There was no other way to do it. Then God told him to be of good courage. Those are all commandments. Sometimes if you attend to God's word, it puts you sideways of somebody else, because that word is governing your life, and you're submitting to it, so you're making it your life. But how many of us know that sometimes that rubs other people the wrong way? They don't like that. I don't know why they don't like it. All I'm doing is running around being nice to people and helping people and loving them. Who doesn't want to be loved? Well, there's a lot of people who don't want to be loved, apparently, because they're against it. But anyways, we have to consent and submit to his words. Let them not depart from our sight. Keep them in the center of our heart, for they are life to those who find them. So I'm looking for them. They are healing and health to all of our flesh. So not only does this affect our life and our spirit life and our walk with God and our walk in the earth, but it also affects the health of our body. So his words are vital to us. Then it says in verse 23, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Keep and guard. Keep and guard. That means this needs to be something so valuable to me that I guard it. How do I guard my heart? Well, for one thing, I got to guard my thoughts.
Amen.
Let's think about this thing for a moment. If God is love, then his word is love.
Amen.
Right? Because it says in John 1:1, in the beginning, before all time, was the word, Christ. And the word was with God, and the word was God. So God and his word are absolutely one. You cannot separate God from his word. So if God is love, then his word is love. Then we receive his word into our heart. What are we receiving? We're receiving God himself.
Amen.
We're receiving the very presence of God. We're receiving the very life of God, the love of God, the fullness of God. When we receive His Word, we're receiving Him. So we need to guard that. It's a treasure to us. Words are sown in the heart. The Word is life. That is why it is so vital for us that we protect the heart above all that we guard. Because the issues of life flow from it. If I've got an issue or a problem in life, no matter what it is, somewhere along the line it's a word issue. It's a heart issue. Good or bad, the issues of life flow from the heart. It's a heart condition. And that's why I have to put the word in, and then I got to guard that word when it's in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read this from the New King James, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's our job. We have to bring our thoughts captive because they war against the Word of God. They war against what's being in our heart. If we don't guard and garrison up our heart by taking dominion over our thoughts, then our heart's going to be full of carnal nature, which is death. It's going to be full of the thoughts of the world, the ways of the world, the ways of the devil, the ways of evil, fear, worry, sickness, disease, unkindness, bitterness. All of these things are part of that carnal, fleshly nature. But love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, benevolence, these are all part of the things of the Spirit.
Amen.
They're spiritually minded. So I have to do that. If I don't guard my heart from those things, then that's what's going to be there. Because I'm making the choice. In Romans 5:5, it says, Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts.
Amen.
By the Holy Ghost who was given to us. God loves us so much that He placed His own Spirit within us. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts. When we're born again, the fullness of His presence comes in.
Hallelujah.
By the Spirit. Now, God is love. So what came in? Love came in.
Amen.
Love came in. Love came in to dwell in Michael. Now, I may not be loving, but love is here. All I have to do is conform to my spirit man more than I do my mental processes of my life. We love Him because He first loved us. We need to remember that. He first loved us. So that we can receive His love. He didn't wait for us to love Him. He loved us first. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, the Amplified Classic, and above all these, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. So again, we see an action on our part. Put on. What's that mean? It means I've got to take a hold of it and I've got to put it on. Well, how do I put love on? I put it on by receiving love into my heart, and it clothes me from the inside out. Hallelujah. I'm clothed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, what that was. And above all these, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness. So it's saying that love is a bond of perfectness.
Amen.
And when it means to enfold something, it means to wrap yourself up in it. It becomes your armor, your garment, your clothing. You're putting this on. You're enfolding yourself. And that binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. Love is the only thing that brings harmony. The world can't do it. They can try to pass laws and all these things to legislate morality, but it's not possible. Morality comes from the heart, and it's based on God's love. There's a world's morality, which is just not morality at all. It's basically whatever I get out of it. You know, it's self-centered. But God's morality is love-based. It's heart-based, and it flows from the heart. And it affects the very life of everything around us. So it's important. In Matthew 6, verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What's in the treasure of your heart? You know, there's a commercial on television. You know what it is when I say it. It says, "What's in your wallet?" Well, let's put it this way. What's in your heart?
Amen.
What is in your heart? When you look at your life and you see the tracks of your life and what you're doing in your life and the response of the things around you and the thoughts that you have, what's in your heart? Because if the Word of God is in your heart in to the degree that it's supposed to be, if I'm consenting and submitting to His Word, if I'm attending to it, the way it's said in Proverbs 4:20, if I'm doing that, then that is controlling my thoughts. It's controlling the issues of my life. It's controlling what I think and how I think and what I do. But to the degree that the Word is present in my life, and I'm not talking about just reading it every day. I could read the Word day and night and never have it in my heart. It's all mental. But is this Word that I'm reading changing my life? Am I really taking the circumstances of my life and filtering it through that Word? Mm-hmm. Letting that Word control my decisions and my thoughts. I still have the right to make the choices. That's how God created man. I can choose either way. But the more I conform to God's Word and God's love and a faith in that Word and love, then the stronger my walk with Him is.
Amen.
The more my thoughts go that way. We can be so full of God, so full of the Word, so in love with Him, that fear just doesn't function in our life. Worry doesn't function. Depression doesn't function. They'll try, but they have no place to get a hold of. You ever had tried to hold something, there's no place to get a hold of it, but yet you got to carry it anyways? What happens to it? It slips out of your hands, doesn't it? But if we're gripping on to the robe of God, if we're gripping on to the heart of God, if we're putting ourselves and enfolding ourselves in that love, there's nothing that can get to us. He that keeps himself, that wicked one touches us not. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There's no place for fear and worry and depression when we're walking the fullness of God's love. Now, that's a process over time. It takes time to walk that way. It takes time to receive His love and to put it into our hearts. It takes time to make decisions and to correct yourself as you're going through your life. But whenever you fall or slip, God's not looking at how many times you fall. He's looking at if and when you get up. And He'll help you back up. You take a hold of that thing and say, "Father, I repent. I made a wrong decision here, and I judge myself. I judge myself according to your word. That was not the love walk right there. And I repent of that. I correct myself. And whatever I need to do to make this right, if there's anything, you show me by your Spirit, and I'll do that." But the main thing is to keep your heart. That's how you keep your heart. You stay a person that will judge himself as he walks through his life and conform to the love walk in every area of your life. So where is your treasure? Where is it? What is it? You know, it's one thing for me to look at you and say, "Well, God is her treasure." But I only see the surface. I mean, some of us can wear some real false clothing and put on some real good acts. We can do that in front of other people. But what happens when we're alone? What happens when we're someplace where nobody else knows us? What comes out of our mouth? What comes out of our thoughts? How do we respond to people that come against us when there's nobody around but that one person? How do we respond to our past? How do we? Do we see our past through the love walk? Well, I can't see that through the love. You have to. You can get to the place where you can look at your past, no matter how much hurt is there, and you can filter it through God's love and have a totally different perspective. then God can take those hurts and bruises and things that harmed you so much in your past. He can take those and make them beautiful. It won't change what happened, but it'll change your perspective of it. It'll change its effect on your life. It'll change your future. And then you'll be in a place where you can take those hurts and fears and worries that held you down in bondage for so long, and you can help someone else that's in that same place. You can tell them, "I was there. I know what you're feeling. But God. But God."
Hallelujah.
"But God." In the process of now moments and decisions that I was able to make based on my love for Him, that's been dealt with in my life. Not been changed. It's been dealt with. Forgiveness has went out. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. And now I see that not so much as what happened, but how God brought glory out of it for me. He didn't cause it to happen. He didn't put it in your pathway. It was there for whatever reason. Choices were made. Things happened. But you got a choice to make yourself in your now moment. You got a choice to make. Do you want to live back there the rest of your life? Or do you want to go free? If you want to go free, there's freedom there. There's freedom available. But it can only be done. It can only be done. You cannot take a pill to change your mind. It won't work. It'll dull your mind for a little while, but it won't change anything. The circumstance will be bigger when you get done with the pill. And I'm not telling you not to take it. Do what you have to do, but get into the Word with it.
Amen.
Whatever you're doing, if you're in that position where you're taking pills, get into the Word and take the pill.
Yeah.
Let the Word renew your mind. Fill your heart with God. How big is your want to? How much do you want this out of your life? How much do you want change? Then do what's required, because it's up to you. It's up to you to receive. It's up to you to get into the Word and find it. It's up to you to guard your heart and protect it. It's up to you to change where you walk and how you think. It's up to you. You do that. God will be there with you every single moment. And He will enhance and quicken and strengthen you as you walk through those things and teach you how personally. He will do that personally. But you have to spend the time. You can't continue with where you are and expect change in your future. It won't work. You can't continue to do the same thing and expect something a different result. What you've been doing up to now don't work. So get into what will work. What will work? It works every time. The Word never fails. It never fails. Love never fails. So I'm telling you today, if that's where you are, what's in your heart? Where's your treasure? Make God's Word your treasure. For Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And we read in Proverbs 4, it says, "The issues of life flow from the heart." Luke 6:45, Amplified Classic. "The upright, honorable, intrinsically good man, out of the good treasure stored in his heart, produces what is upright, honorable, and intrinsically good. And the evil man of the evil storehouse brings forth that which is depraved, wicked, and intrinsically evil. For out of the abundance, the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." Out of the abundance, overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. What are you saying? "Oh, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't see it. This is impossible." God, where are you? Don't you see what's going on? You haven't given him anything to work with. Nothing. You're speaking out of the abundance of your heart. Where's your faith and trust? Where's the Word? Where's the love walk? It's not there. God's not the problem. The enemy is. God's not the problem. He's the answer to the problem. But you cannot keep speaking those things and going down into your heart and bringing them out and speaking them. You need to get a hold of the Word and speak it.
Yeah.
Father, your Word says. Oh, I thank you, Father, your word says, and declare the answer before the beginning. The enemy and everything that's in this world will bow to the word. It has to. But you're the one that enforces it. So what are you saying? Guard your heart. Guard what you say. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Never pick up an offense, your own or somebody else's. Never. I don't care what the offense is, don't pick it up. Because you are an answer there. You cannot pray and be offended at the same time.
Right.
You're part of the problem, not the answer, and you don't know it. You can't criticize and pray at the same time. The reason you criticize is because you believe the problem more than you do the answer to the problem.
Amen.
If you believe the problem, you'd be voicing, if you believe the answer to the problem, you'd be voicing that. I know what's going on over there, but my God is able. He's working. He's moving. You watch what he does in that situation. You just watch what my Father does. Because the word says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We've prayed. We've believed the word. The word says. So the word's changing that circumstance. I may not see it, but I know it's happening because God's word is true. It cannot lie. It is the most important thing in life. So, what's coming out of your mouth? Matthew 12:35 is basically the same, but it has some different ingredients in the way it's written. Amplified Classic. The good man, from his inner good treasure, flings forth good things. And the evil man, out of his inner evil storehouse, flings forth evil things. Again, what's in your heart? Verse 36. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. So we see the importance of words. Now you may not think that those words you've been saying are important, but they are. Well, I'm just telling you how it is. If that guy hadn't done that in my life, I wouldn't be where I am right now. It's his fault. No, it's your fault because of the way you, what you did in the midst of that. What he did was real. It hurt. But you could have made, you could have brought the word in there and changed your life and guarded your heart. But you didn't. You took on the offense. So what's been eating you up all these years? That offense. Maybe you're taking on somebody else's offense. How in the world can you minister the truth of God's word when you took a hold of somebody else's offense? You can't. If you're going to minister, you have to be compassionate. But you cannot agree with that. You cannot agree with the offense. You can't afford that because this person needs you.
Amen.
You can't agree with that hurt. You can't agree with that. You acknowledge it, it happened, and you got compassion for it. But you can't get on board with that.
Mm-mm.
You have to be out here where you can take the word of God and say, this is what the word says. It says to forgive. I don't want to forgive. Well, then you're going to stay in bondage. Because this is a commandment. You have to do this. And we can do it together. I can help you with it. There's all kinds of ways to do it without taking on the offense. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, He will guide you. Sometimes it's you don't say anything. You can't afford to get an agreement with the circumstance. The cost is too high. And we're believers.
Amen.
So what we believe, if we believe that offense, how can I minister there? How can I pray? How can I take God's word and counteract that? I can't. So think about that. Where in your life are you taking an offense? Where are you walking in bitterness and hurt from the past? You have to deal with it. You're not alone when you're doing it. You can be set free. God's word is alive and it can deal with it. It can teach you how. So, your words, what you are saying in the midst of that, you're being held accountable for them. Now, you can change that. Yes, you may feel that hurt and all of that, but out of your mouth comes forgiveness and prayer. Father, I intercede for that person. Yes, they hurt me. But you said to cast all of my cares upon you, for you care for me. So I take the care of this. I take this hurt, Lord, and I place it under the blood of Jesus at the cross. And Lord, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to leave it drop. Every time I try to pick it up again, I'm going to put it right back there again. Because you said to let it drop. You said to let it go. You said to cast the cares upon you. So Father, I know you know the hurt. You know what's going on in our lives. But I pray for this person. They didn't know what they did. I know, I think they did know, and they did it on purpose. But even if they did, they were deceived. And I was deceived in the way I handled it. So I'm asking you, Lord, to bring refreshing and healing to us. And Father, from this point forward, I'm going to bless that person. I'm going to do everything I can to love that person. They're going to be in the forefront of my prayers. And I'm going to do everything I can. Everything I can as you lead and guide me to bring restoration here. Lord, I forgive them because you forgave me. And I thank you for it. And the next time when it comes up, thank you, Father, your word is working in that. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, angels. I know you're out there working in this. And I know there's change coming. I may not see it even in my life, but there's change coming. Because your word is true. That's how you got to channel and guard your heart. You have to do that. If you don't, you'll live back there. And it'll eat your whole life up. And your whole future. It'll tear your ministry apart and tear your heart and your family apart if you don't deal with it. And you can deal with it because God's not left you alone. He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Hallelujah.
And he's given us this awesome love book. There's nothing more important than to be rooted in love. And you cannot love someone and walk in love and walk in fear and hate and anger at the same time.
Amen.
You have to turn that. And you can with God's word. You can't do it alone, but you can with God's word by his Spirit. So, if I'm being held accountable for the words I speak, then I better be speaking his word.
Amen.
Because I want life in those words when I speak them. And the only way I can speak his word is to be in his word. To know what he says. And to spend time with him and let him teach me. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word. God's message in Christ is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis, and the object of faith which we preach. So where is this word? Right here in our mouth. It's just a word away. That's what it's saying. It's already there. Just speak my word. Just speak it.
And
amen. I believe that. I didn't have time to reference it, but he's quoting an Old Testament verse.
No,
I think it's Deuteronomy. I don't know the exact.
It's Deuteronomy.
What is it, Mom?
Let me look here. What verse was it? It's Deuteronomy 30:14.
Deuteronomy 30:14. And in that he says, you can do it.
No.
You can do it. Because it is in your mouth and in your heart. You can do this. We don't think we can. But we can do this. We can because it's right here. If you don't put the word in your mouth, it's not going to get into your heart. Okay, if we truly love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, then we open the door for manifestations in every area of our life.
Yeah.
Our heart will be established, and we will dwell in the secret place of God's rest. I'm going to go ahead with these. I might have to do real quickly, but Psalm 91... Verse 1 and 2. I'd like to go through the whole psalm, but I can't. So we're going to focus on the beginning and the end. But now, if we truly love God, if we truly are doing what we're talking about today, if we're attending to his word, if we're inclining our heart, if we're positioning ourselves and correcting ourselves with the word, as we walk in the love walk, we enter into his secret place. Love is the secret place. Love is the place of communion with God. And in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, now this whole psalm, it's an awesome psalm, and you ought to confess it personally as part as yours every day of your life. You should do that over your family and over those, especially in these dark times. But everything in this psalm, all the promises that are there, are related to verse 1 and 2 and verse 14. So let's look at those verses. Psalm 91, verse 1, Amplified Classic. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall, it's an absolute, shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Then you make a choice. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, on Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. If you're going to dwell in the secret place, you have to do verse 2. Now, you're not just speaking it. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to say that, and it's okay. I said it, there I am. No, you got to do what you say. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Well, if He is, what do you do in the time of trouble? Is He? Or is the bank your refuge? Or your rich uncle? Or somebody else, something else? What is your refuge? What is a refuge? It's a place of safety, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I say, You, Lord, are my place of refuge. You are my fortress. What's a fortress do?
Protect you.
Earlier we talked about enfolding ourselves in the love of God. If you're dwelling in the secret place, you're dwelling in God. And you're dwelling in love if you're dwelling in the secret place. That means you're walking the love walk. Otherwise, yeah, you're not dwelling there. You're dwelling there means you live there. Everything in your life functions through the love walk. You are filtering everything through you, the love walk, and that's how you respond to everything in your life. Now, that's a moment at a time decision. But what happens? It says you will remain stable and fixed. Do you want to remain stable and fixed? I want to be stable and fixed.
Yes.
There's only one way to do that, and that's to do verse 2. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. Do you trust God? Then why do you respond the way you do? You know, these are questions I ask myself. I get in an issue or a problem, I say, where's my trust? Do I trust the Word? Do I believe what it says? Is that really in my heart? Am I walking according to that? Or am I walking in worry and fear and depression? What's my walk like? Don't be afraid to be honest with yourself. If you're honest with yourself, then you can find out where you really are and you can change it.
Amen.
But if you're lying to yourself, you can't change anything. You'll fail. Because you're lying to yourself. Well, I can't be wrong anymore. Mm-hmm. I've been wrong all my life. We're not worried about your life in the past. You've got life ahead. Let's deal with this. Maybe you were that way, but this is why you were that way. Because you were not walking the love walk. You were not attending to His Word. Sometimes, at the beginning, when you start this path, it's a little rough because it hurts your carnal nature. But every time you take a step, you get stronger.
Amen.
Every time you take a step in love, love flows stronger through in and through you. The closer you get to God, the more you're wrapped and enfolded in His love, the more you're in that secret place. Hallelujah. So this is so important to us. He is my refuge and my fortress. And it says, my God. What is your God? The bank? Your job? Your kids? Your family? What do you focus on more than anything else in your life? Your fun? The pool? Baseball game? Where's your focus in life? Now, I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but they can't be first.
Amen.
Your focus has got to be on God first. We talked about that in one of our earlier lessons. Love, the top priority in life. It really is. The only way to protect your family is to walk with God.
Amen.
Then you really protect your family. Then your business prospers. Then you see things change in your life. I'm going to have to shut up here. Psalm 91, verse 14, Amplified Classic. This is God Himself speaking. Now this man in verse 1 and 2 has set his love upon God, or he wouldn't be in that secret place. So verse 14 says, because, God Himself is saying this, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy and love and kindness, trusts in, relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, the promises are so rich. My heart will be established. I have set my love upon God. What is my heart motive? Father, we thank you for this time in the Word today. We thank you for teaching us, Lord. We choose to enter into the dwelling place of your presence. We choose to walk the love walk. We choose, Father, to attend to your words today. Lord, teach us. This is a new pathway for some of us. We've never even heard this before, some of us. But Lord, we know you love us. We know your word is true. And so, Father, we also said in your word that you would teach us how to choose. So as David said in Psalm 25, verse 1, unto you, O Lord, do I bring my soul. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. So we bring our life to you, Lord, and we ask you to teach us and to cause us to understand. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today.